Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Last time we were looking in this blessed book, Abram and Lot had separated. Chapter 13, verse 12 says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Verse 18 says that then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now, as we begin chapter 14, I'd like to look at the first 16 verses of Genesis 14. And the Spirit of God was pleased to record the details of a war that took place. And knowing that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's given to reveal the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to read the first 12 verses. We'll look tonight at verses 1 to 16. But let's read the first 12 verses. And I want us to look at the details of a war that took place. And if you when you see what happened, it wasn't a war that was being waged because of Abram or Lot, but they were involved with it. And as we read, I want us to remember that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This war took place, and the Spirit of God recorded the events, the details of this war, to show us the glory of God Almighty in the rescue and redemption of His people. Genesis 14, verse 1. It came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shimeber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar, and all these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled, and in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Karnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims, and the Emims in Sheva Kiriathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to En-Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelled in Hazazon Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits. And the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. Now, four kings. There were four kings led by a king named Chedorlaomer. And these four kings joined forces to invade five kings. Five kings being aligned with the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, a place where Lot was now found. Now, you know, when I began this message tonight, it said, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, I just found out he done moved in. And so he's there now. He just kind of started going in that direction. Now he's there. And these five kings had served this king, Chedorlaomer, for 12 years. Now here's the scenario so you can get it. I've read a bunch of names and I'm throwing some names out now. And so here's what's happening. There were four kings. And they were really, let me just say this, under a king named Chedorlaomer, and he was the head. He was the head king, and they were, let's say, the landlords. They were the ones that kind of were running things. And these five kings over there, of which Sodom was one of them, Gomorrah was one of them. There were five kings over there, and they were the ones in servitude to the four kings under Chedorlaomer. Well, what happened was the five kings, they decided, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to serve you. I don't want to be in servitude to you. And so there was a rumbling is what's happening. So these five kings who had been servants, let's say, having to pay money and send to the four kings under Chedorlaomer. And so what they were going to do is they were going to rebel. So the five kings had served, the scripture says, Chedorlaomer for 12 years. Well, in the 13th year, they rebelled. What happened was they said, we're not going to do this anymore. And in the 14th year, Chedorlaomer aligned with the other three, there's these four right here, and they were going to put a stop to this. And so Chedorlaomer, along with his allies, came and they put the rebellion down. But while they were putting the rebellion down, they went ahead and took everything else from all the other surrounding neighboring cities. And they decided we're going to stop this. I'm going to make an example of everybody. Well, the king of Sodom, instead of submitting to the forces of Chedorlaomer and negotiating terms of peace, decided that he was going to go ahead and just take the battle again against the four kings that were coming in to put this rebellion down, but it didn't go well. And the forces that were aligning themselves with Sodom, they were put down, and many of them, there were slime pits in that area, the scripture says. And those that didn't, you know, be caught up in the slime pits fell to the mountains. And the cities were plundered, and all the goods of Sodom were carried off by the conquerors. And in that plundering, Lot, Adam's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods were taken also. And they left with Lot. Now, had it not been for Lot being involved, providentially, it may have been, Abram would have never, that wasn't his fight. But what's happened now, Lot now is taken. And the Spirit of God has been pleased to be dealing with two men primarily in this book this latter part of these chapters we've been dealing with, Abram and Lot and the lives of these two men, we've been seeing how the mercy and compassion of God to lead and guide and direct and protect His people while they sojourn in this world. Lot has left Ur of the Chaldees. He'd gone to a place called Haran. His daddy was there. He died. He came down to Canaan. He went down into Egypt. There he told Sarah, said, tell them that you're my sister. You know what happened? Now they're back in Canaan. Now they had the squabble between them because of their herdmen. They split. Abram told Lot, you take what you want, I'll take the other. Lot is now. And now he's done caught up. He got caught up in this war. And they came in and they took everything. Took it all. And they got Lot, his family, all of them. He's taken into captivity. He's defeated. He's lost all of his possessions. Now, that's what happened physically, you know, humanly speaking. But in that being taken captive, do we not see in him a picture of man in general, but specifically with Lot, of God's elect? In the fall, all men fell in the fall. But in that fall, there were some of God's elect, some that the Lord had known and loved everlastingly. But now, Lot has lost everything. He's not with Abram anymore. He was in Sodom, had all of his stuff. He had all kinds of livestock, and I mean, he was a wealthy man, and he's over there now in Sodom, and now he don't have any of it. All of it was taken. Now those forces under Chedorlaomer has got him, but now here's a picture of man captive, spiritually captive, stripped of everything that he's got. Why? Well, the scripture says here's the reason why. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, man lost everything in the fall. Communion with God, joy in the Lord, peace, his life. That's what the Lord told Adam. The day you eat, you're going to die. And now, being born in Adam, we've come into this world in captivity. All of us have. We're all like Lot. We're all taken captive. Captive to sin, bondage. A nature now that the Apostle Paul refers to as the body of this death. A body that only the Lord can free us from, and that in death. We're going to go through the rest of our life with that, you know. We're born into this world held by a strong man. Satan, one stronger than us. The Lord spoke of this bondage from which a sinner must be delivered by one stronger than himself, stronger than the strong man. The Lord said, taking talk to some Pharisees who accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, the Lord said unto them, he said, that's what they told him. He said, you cast out devils by Beelzebub. You're doing this by the devil. And the Lord said, if Satan cast out Satan, if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, those that he has captive, except he, the Lord Jesus Christ, first bind the strong man, and then he'll spoil his house. So, Lot is captive to these kings over here. But man's captive in sin. Satan, this world, self. So here's God's people. Here's where we are. Here's a picture of God's elect. But according to the good pleasure and grace of God, the Scripture sets forth that Abram found out about it. Let's read verses 13 to 16. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Now, here we see Abram, the Spirit of God, referring to him as the Hebrew, one who is a descendant of Shem. You remember Noah's three sons, Shem, the father of Eber. Matthew Henry made a note of this concerning this Abram's title, the Hebrew. He said, one from whose family the profession of true religion was kept up in that degenerate age. Now, the word Hebrew means one from beyond, but the most commentators, all in agreement, that say that the title they're given Abram is to show his relationship by the grace of God to the Lord. And so we've seen now that Lot's plight now has been addressed by Abram. Somebody came, whether it was a soldier, whether it's one of Lot's family, we don't know. But it just says in verse 13, there came one that had escaped. And here, Abram's been informed, but our God has known eternally his people. Nobody's ever informed him. Known from the beginning are these precious things of the Lord. So here, Abram, because of his love for Lot, he takes 318 men that he's instructed, that he's taught, born into his family. And what happens is he's going after. He's going after Lot. And oh, I think of the mercy of God that the Lord Jesus Christ would not leave us to themselves. I was going over my notes a minute ago, and I jotted down this right here when I thought about it. I could just see in my mind whoever this was. They came and they told Abram, Lot's been taken. Chedorlaomer and his allies have come over and they've overrun Sodom and Gomorrah and these other places surrounding neighboring cities, and they've taken everything. And Lot's with them. He's gone. Lot's gone. His family's gone. His stuff's gone. Everything's gone. They knew obviously who Abram was. And I thought, here was Abram. He didn't have that attitude of he made his bed. He'd sleep in it now. You know, that'd be a natural response, you know. They'd gotten into an argument over the herdman had started it, and he kind of spilled over, and Abram had seen the heathen was in the land, and rather than cause a bad name to be upon them and upon the Lord, he told Lot, he said, you take what you want. We can't do this. You take what you want, you go on. You go do, and I'll go the other way. We'll split ways. Now Lot's captive. And Abraham, no mention of hesitation. No mention of, you know, well, He's getting what he deserved. No, there was a spirit of mercy. Spirit of graciousness. And without a doubt, he loved him. That was his nephew. That was his brother's son. But it says right here, deeper than that. You notice right there, look at the last verse. Second time it's mentioned, he brought back all the goods and also brought back who? His brother. What did he tell Lot back when they were getting ready to split? He said, Lot, we're brethren. We're brethren. Okay, we're brethren. These fleeting things right here. Like I said, what's some grass and some water? And I mean, look, we're brethren. And so here, Abram pursues. He's going after him. He's going after him with purpose. With purpose. I think of that scripture. Scripture said, the Lord says, my meat. This is what I live on. This is my sustenance, right? My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And Abram was going after him. How many you got? 318. How many do they got? It don't matter. I'm going after my brother. And he pursued him. Small number, 318 against four kings. I don't know how many they had. No mention. But with God, all things are possible. You think there was any possibility? What if it was one of your kids? What if it was your wife? What would you do? He went after him, and the scripture says he heard, he took him. 15, he divided himself against him, he and his servants by night, and he smote them. I think about Gideon. How many did Gideon have when he went in and he slew the army of the Midianites? How many did they have? I don't know. It doesn't say. How many did he have? 300. That's how many he had. And the Lord blessed it. And he smote them. And the scripture says that he took him, he divided his force, and he came in by night, and he smote those as the Lord has come and tearing up, pulling down the strongholds against God's people. And he took back all the goods that they had taken, you know, with their exploits. And he got back Lot and his goods and the women and the people and all the you know, everything that belonged to Lot. This is what he got. He took it. All the goods he got, but he was after Lot's stuff. But oh, the victory that the Lord wrought concerning Lot's rescue and recovery by Abram, an uncle that loved him, loved his nephew, loved his brother in the Lord, fellow believer. But oh, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you think Abram had resolved in his mind? He doesn't say. I'm just thinking. Well, Abram, you know you might die. I'm going after him. He got him. And Lot was saved. He was delivered from captivity. But consider just in these closing moments of what the Lord has done for us. Salvation. Salvation is what a captive sinner needs. We talk about salvation, saved. That word is rescued. Rescued. You know, I was going over thinking of these things, and I'm thinking, you take somebody out there in the water, and they're swimming around, and you ask them, you said, do you need rescuing? They're out there swimming. No, I'm not. No, I don't need rescue. I don't need it. Why? Well, I'm not drowning. I don't need rescuing. But I'm telling you, if a man is drowning, if he's going under and he can't swim, he needs for somebody to do something for him that he can't do. He can't swim. And he's going under. He needs saving. Why? No man can save himself. Salvation is for those who can't save themselves. That's what a captive sinner needs. Salvation is what a helpless sinner needs. There's no way. I need rescuing. I need for the Lord to do something for me because born in Adam, I am captivated. I'm held. And I need one that is powerful, that can save me, take me back, deliver me. Lot had lost all of his goods. And in the fall, we lost everything that had any value to it whatsoever. We were ruined. Ruined in Adam's transgression. From the sole of our foot to the crown of our head. Isaiah 1:6 says there's no soundness. No part of us is unaffected. That's what it means. There's no soundness. There's no part of us. Whatever parts you want to consider. Emotion, whatever. There's nothing in us. All it is spiritual wounds and bruises, running sores, and nothing has been done or can be done except by the Lord. Religion can't help us. Religion. Man, the religion of the world, good intentions, we can't help ourselves. We have no ability. But Ephesians 2:4 says this, 2:4-7, but God, who is rich in mercy, rich in not giving us what we deserve. Did Lot decide he wanted to go to Sodom? Did he decide, this is where I want to go? It looked good to me. Well watered. That looks like the place to, I can settle down there. That's where he wanted to go. Man in the garden, Adam in the garden, he did what he wanted to do. And did it with his eyes wide open. God, who is rich in mercy, not giving us what we deserve. For, because of, his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Meaning, he has made us alive with the life that flows from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. By grace. This is the favor that we did not deserve. That Christ should impart his own life to souls that he has everlastingly loved, that have been given him by the Father, who now are dead in sins, in absolute rebellion against God. And the Scripture says, and hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Marvelously and gloriously, I cannot understand it, but I believe it. That we now are found in Him. We've always been in Him. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and we're still found in Him. That in the ages to come, He's done all of this, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. As Abram rescued Lot with 318 men, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the shedding of His own blood, by the blood of one man, by the blood of the God-man, by the blood of one man, but oh, what a man, and oh, what blood. By the blood of one man shed for a people everlastingly loved, they have been rescued. They have been delivered from the curse of the law, by the Lord Jesus Christ being made a curse for us. He paid our debt to the law of God with His own blood. What was the debt? Death. Death. That's the debt. The debt, the wages of sin, the broken law of God, that's that, you know. Sin is a transgression of the law. And the wages of sin is death. And the law had to be satisfied. What's it going to take to satisfy the law for sin? Death. He was made sin. He took all of the sin of all of His people for all of time. He bore all of it. Not only what they committed, what they didn't do, they should have done, what they thought, what everything. We'll never know the debt He paid. But by one sacrifice for sin, He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. The law could demand no more, no less, death. And He laid down His life. Abram's willingness, diligence to save his brother, Lot, set forth the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to finish the work. That work that was given him by his father. Believing God, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He left his place of comfort where he was in Canaan, and he came and rescued his brother who could not deliver himself, captive. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He who eternally stood as the surety of His sheep, came into this world, made flesh, made under the law to finish that work, and He finished it. That's what He said. He said that. It's finished. And Abram brought back all the goods, his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And our precious Savior said, I restored that which I took not away. He restored life that was lost by sin. He restored man's obedience to God. The man that obeyed God, He charges that obedience to His people that believe. Restored God's image in man, God's acceptance of man for His obedience. And now peace, joy, love, and fellowship, all that was lost in the garden, it's been restored. Abram went and He rescued him, brought him back. Got all that was lost, gave it all back to Him. Oh, I pray that God bless our hearts, seeing in this picture right here, this event really took place. But oh, what a rescue. What it pictured. What it set forth concerning the salvation of God's elect. Pray that the Lord bless it for His glory and our good. Amen. Okay, good.